Good morning, church.
Morning, Pastor.
We will sing hymn from Praise the Lord, book number 84. O God, beyond all praising. Infinite God, Abba Father, Lord of life, eternal sovereign, creator of great and small, guide, we pray, our devotions this and every day, and accept our fulsome prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, your Son, our Advocate. Amen. Please sit.
White and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is of the most fine gold, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
The presence of the Song of Solomon in the Scriptures is not a mistake. We come this morning to ponder the altogether lovely one. From birth to death, resurrected, alive forevermore. The chiefest among 10,000, the standard bearer, the altogether lovely one, Jesus, the focus of our lives. Lovely and comforting too. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where was he going? The matter has been discussed many times. Just what did it mean? Well, he was going, was he not, to the cross. That was his immediate destination. Prepare a place. Remove from our minds the notion of someone going to prepare a cozy room in a hotel where we might abide in luxury, comfortably. Think instead of the preparation of the way for us to reach eternal life. His destination was the cross. The way was to the cross and by the cross. The cross is the focus of his words here. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And if we don't love him, we shan't keep his commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There's a very close association between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of Truth. Let us not stumble at that thought, but let us rightly divide the Word of Truth. Miserable comforters are ye all, said Job in his extremity. Are we miserable comforters? Or do we find only miserable comfort in our religion? Thy reproach has broken his heart. He is full of heaviness. He looked for some to take pity on him, but there was no man neither found he any to comfort him. Handel's librettist chose those words to reflect the scripture. He is the comforter. The comfort we receive from him should not be miserable, but joyous, effective. Comfort doesn't simply mean sinking back in soft cushions. Comfort, fort, the French for strong, fortitude. Even the insurance company, Fortis, all show how comfort involves strength. The coming of the comfort of Christ brings not only softness, but strength, which we must use to sustain our faith and to proclaim his salvation. The bearer of burdens. Have a look at Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Are you listening, children of God? He takes us up in his arms and blesses us. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Verse 25, At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Spirit of truth, which comes from and with Christ, ultimately from God himself, does not consist simply of black print on white paper, leather bound. It comes by the Spirit of Christ. It is to be felt and it is to be sensed with the stark realization that our human minds are incapable of understanding in its fullness the wonder of the spiritual things of God. Let the word fill not only our minds, and let it fill our minds, but our hearts too. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, said Jesus, is light. Words from the man who bore on his shoulders the sins of the world to the cross and died there, was able to say, come to me and share my yoke, for it is easy and light. Strength made perfect or complete in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think as I was sitting in the corner during your group discussion, I heard someone read these verses. My grace, said God to Paul, is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. How could he? Well, he was the Apostle Paul, who was not meet, he thought, to be called an apostle, for he persecuted the church of God and had been brought from that terrible situation into front-line service. Pride gave place to humility, a humility which stayed with him throughout his ministry, a humility which sprang from the realization that once he had tried to destroy the Christ whom now he served. What an incentive that provided for his assiduous proclamation of the gospel up and down the Roman Empire. Can you feel them? Genesis 3 and verse 18 reminds us that Adam's punishment included hard gardening, horticultural and agricultural work. Hard because of the thorns and the thistles, which because of his disobedience should be brought forth from the ground, as well as good things. Thorn. Can you feel them? Particular thorns which formed the headdress of the Saviour of the world, impaled upon the cross, placed there by Roman soldiers with just sufficient hand pressure to ensure that they gripped his skull and that they could not fall. And we see him wearing that crown with the droplets, the trickles of his saving blood. Can you feel them? Can you feel them? Deuteronomy 33 tells us what we must feel. what we can feel, what comforts us. Words originally spoken to ancient Israel, but so applicable to benefit all who love and respect the God of creation. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. There is none like unto God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee. Can you feel it? The everlasting arms, the assurance. I say to myself, look at the man on the cross. Make him the center of my life. Let us pray. Loving Father, whose mercy rejoices against judgment, in our weakness, help us devotedly so to order our lives that they please and honour you in every step before all mankind, as did Jesus our Lord and Master, whose devotion and obedience exemplified the love and reverence we should bring to you, our Sovereign Majesty. Help us as now we prepare to remember Jesus' sacrifice. And we earnestly pray, forgive our sins for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen. Thank you, Church.
Thank you, John. I've been going out on composers have thoughts on the breaking of bread, which will start at 11 o'clock. I'd like to start at 11 o'clock, but I would like you, please, to make every effort to conclude your fascinating fellowship conversations at 5 to 11. So can we please be seated here in silence at 5 to 11? It just needs a little bit of effort to suddenly realise we're in the presence of, we're coming to remember Jesus, and however important and fascinating our conversations are, there is a time when we need to discipline ourselves to sit in silence and prepare. There will be some music which I'll be playing, which is, the words will be on your seats there, so that you can listen to that. I'll explain the introductory music. It's written, composed and played by some Messianic Jews there, and the words are very wonderful about the Sabbath rest there. So as we approach 11 o'clock, I'll turn that music on, and you might like to follow the words there. We'll also have an opportunity for some welfare prayers. I've got some bits of paper which I'll put out onto the table just behind Bobby here. If you'd like to write those down there, I've yet to ask someone to do. Dave, would you be happy to do the welfare, read the welfare prayer out for us, please? Yes, so if you've got anything you'd like to write down, any petitions or thanks or anything else which is relevant to your life and those we care and love for, if you'd write them down on the bits of paper and then let Dave have them. Thanks very much. Yes, that's it. We're going to have a coffee break now, and then we'll be in our seats at 5:30. Thank you.